just realized normally you sit on that side and you sit on that side.
Do you need us to switch?
Yeah, that's okay. We'll figure it out later. We'll still do our normal order of welcome to AC Presents. I'm Alex.
I'm Jared.
And I'm Laura. We're going counterclockwise today.
Yeah, because Jared picked the wrong seat.
I did. They changed everything on me.
We did. Well, to a certain degree. By everything, he means this is our first official episode in our brand new studio.
And it's really nice. You guys did a great job with this place.
And it's not done, but it is functional enough that we don't have to set up in the living room anymore and tear down and leave it. But mostly set up a table and then tear down and then leave the stuff in the living room all week long. Now we can leave the stuff in the studio all week long or all 2 weeks long or whatever.
Although ironically, we bought some new stuff, so the old stuff could still stay in the living room.
It could.
But let's not.
We bought and and made some stuff to make it a little easier to be remote and everything. But yeah, so if it sounds differently than last time, maybe sorry, maybe not. I don't know if it'll sound better or worse.
Yeah, leave a comment and let us know if it sounds better.
Yeah.
That's the intent.
Or tell Laura while she's at work. I'm talking to you, Cody.
It's possible.
But yeah, it's exciting that we're finally, I mean, we've been seeing the progress. I mean, Jared, you've seen it every step of the way,
yep. But
this to actually like, okay, not only can we see the difference, we can actually use the difference. yeah, it's been a long project, but there's just a little bit of ways to go, but we're doing well so far. So yeah, that's the news section out of the way. Jared, what is our theme for the week?
The theme for the week is comic books we'd like to see turned into video games.
And why did we choose that? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember why.
The reason why we chose that.
Cody!
Sort of. That. And we read for this week's episode is The Last Ronin, and they're turning that comic book into a video game also.
That's right. Yep.
But I didn't know that until Cody was like, hey, I remember that. Yada, yada, yada. And I was like, that's a great idea. I'm stealing it. Thanks.
So good job, Cody, for not only being being an active listener. That's what I was calling an active listener for the podcast.
Not just an NPC.
Yeah. So I have a list of a few things. I don't have a whole lot, admittedly.
Me neither.
We have a few that Jared and I mostly talked about yesterday in the store. I was like, okay, this one. Like, we each took pictures of the different things because like that, it's easier to see everything lined out. So with that, how about I'll go first this time. And the first one on my list, I guess I didn't confirm with you, Laura, so we might have overlap, but it is what it is. Marvel Zombies, I think, would be a cool one where you could either play as the heroes trying to survive and not get bit by zombies, or just random citizens, and oh no, here comes zombie Spider-Man, zombie Captain America, zombie whoever. It'd be the same with Deceased, I would say, enough of the, it could be similar enough for a story where, oh, you're just trying to survive the zombie apocalypse. And it's the superheroes with their zombie abilities and the madness that would ensue with that. Because not only do you want to fight those superheroes, but you want to fight zombie versions of them. That's even harder to kill or survive from.
Survive from is probably the more accurate term.
I mean, you can kill Hawkeye zombie theoretically easier than most other superheroes because he's just a dude. So,
Invisible Woman would be the most terrifying one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, because you wouldn't see her.
Yeah, you wouldn't see her coming, and oh, I'm bit. I guess I'm dead.
Would you be terrified then? Like, you just accept, like, okay, it could happen any time.
Oh, no, you wouldn't be terrified in the moment because you wouldn't know she was there.
But. Right. Yeah.
But when you become a zombie, you look back on it and be like, man, that was scary.
Mm-hmm.
You would get to relive your own death.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. For me, like, terrifying one, maybe Hulk.
Hulk would be bad.
Just because, like, I mean, even non-zombie Hulk, like, it'd be, oh, there's this giant guy that comes in and smashes everything.
And now he's zombified and wants to bite your head off.
Right. Like
that. Not all the way off. Just puncture wounds, right? Because I guess
no, it's
it
Hulk.
Depends
your
on...
Your head's gone.
Okay.
Well, in the Marvel Zombies, they do keep their hunger, though. So it's not just biting just to bite, though. It's a hunger.
It's to eat,
so...
Okay, yeah, I wasn't sure if they were trying to create more zombies and how the infection spreads, because I know different places... Like, sometimes you're bit, sometimes it's in your blood somehow, sometimes it's airborne.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of ways to turn into a zombie.
Well, in the Marvel Zombies, they kept their consciousness, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Versus Deceased, it is just pure rage zombie mode, but with their power still. So, I don't know, zombie Iron Man could be terrifying too, because, okay, he's a super genius already.
Captain America would be pretty tough with his super soldier serum. Spider-Man would be a pain.
And he keeps making jokes.
Yeah.
zombie Xavier. Like, oh, I'll just mind control you towards me and everything.
That would be pretty rough.
That would be, yeah. I'm just going through like the Illuminati of the head ones. Like, okay, who'd be terrifying for that?
Now, the character you play, would you only be like a person who's trying to survive? Or would you ever be one of the characters trying to, like the superheroes, I mean, trying to get the other people?
You could do really either.
I think it would be a better game if you were the heroes, because they actually have powers versus now you could do as a regular civilian. It'd be kind of like The Last of Us sort of survival sort of thing, where you're trying to sneak around and everything, so you're not really fighting those heroes and villains, and just trying to survive and getting from point A to point B. But as an action, I mean, obviously more action-packed if you're super-powered.
Right, and you've got just minion zombies who could just be your regular non-powered beings.
Right, just the hordes of them. Yeah. And yeah, you could be a faction of heroes trying to survive the zombie hordes. Like the Ultimate Alliance games. I don't know if you ever played those, Jared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or I don't know if you ever...
Not really, but I was thinking those were like the younger kids, like Kamala, Ms. Marvel, and...
Nope.
Oh, nope, it wasn't. Okay.
Not the first two, at least. But it was a four-player team that you go in, like each person controls one person, and it's all on the same map together. You can have your combo attacks, that sort of thing.
Okay.
It came out on like the PS2 starting out. That era. I don't know if that's the console, but maybe that era.
I think it was PS3.
Was it PS3?
And Xbox 360.
Okay.
Because the PS2 era was the X-Men game, X-Men Legends.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the same, which was the exact same style. Right. Like they just turned it from just X-Men to the full, all of Marvel at that point. If I remember correctly. I don't know. Some people may know better than I would, but... And they did do Ultimate Alliance 3 that came out 2-3 years ago. That was a Switch exclusive. Mm. That's my first one, is Marvel Zombies. I think that'd be a cool game. Laura, what is first on your list?
So I'm bad. I really only made one on my list because I...
Spider-Man. Always...
Okay, I guess. I didn't really research the Spider-Man one, though. Although I did realize City at War went the wrong way, though. Like, it was a video game that they turned into a comic.
Correct. That was the first... It was Spider-Man PS4. Made the whole story into a comic book.
Mm-hmm. And I don't remember... I don't think I ever actually read it. I have them all. I set them all aside. They have their own special place in, like, my Spider-Man collection, but I don't think I ever actually read them.
Hmm. I think we even bought the trade of that, too, once it came out in trade as well.
I'm not sure about.
But I'm mistaken. Hmm.
But yeah, I know it was a big hubbub because they put a big white spider on his chest, and everyone was like, he can't be that bright. Like, he can't, like, glow almost. And then they made the glowing Spider-Man too. Like they did all kinds of things because people were like, you can't do that. Watch me.
They've made so
hold
many
different, my beer.
Yeah, they've made so many different Spider-Man suits. Like, that's not a good argument. Like, they can't. They'll do whatever they want.
Yeah, that was one of the things I liked in one of the first Spider-Man games, was that you could collect all the suits and then you could play as the different Spider-Man. So I've always liked Spider-Man in all his suits.
I guess if you were to do a, since we're already on the subject of Spider-Man, game, what comic book story do you think they could do well into a game? I have an idea.
Ooh, I've got one too. I can't remember the story arc, but it was after Civil War, kind of when he went back away from Tony's, and him, Mary Jane, and Aunt May are on the run.
That was right before One More Day.
Yeah.
One More Day and Brand
Aunt
New Day.
May get shot and everything. That would be kind of a cool concept of him running away from all those. You know, if they did it into a game, I think they should expand it farther than what the comic did, because it was a shorter run. But that was a good one.
For me, one jumps to mind was basically anything with Kraven, the hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. Even
because then you could use the zoo, too.
Right, and you could even potentially play as Kraven and, like, okay, have him doing different hunting. Like, it'd be what was the arcade game? The Buck Hunt sort of thing. Like, it has the light gun.
Yeah. Where,
all right, you're Kraven and you're shooting these different animals and whatnot.
That would be kind of funny.
It'd be ridiculous. I don't know if Marvel would allow that now. Of like, oh, yeah, here's a hunting game where you're hunting endangered species. Go.
Yeah, I think that might be. I don't think they do that.
But that with Kraven's Last Hunt could be a cool game, though, where it is him chasing you down the entire time and, you know, it plays out the way it plays out.
Do you crawl out of your own grave at any point?
Potentially. That could be part two. That could be the end of the first game.
It could be the epilogue.
Well, it'd be like Infinity War and Endgame, where the first game ends on a really downer note. And then, all right, here's the second game. Do the post-credit scene where you see the hand getting out of the grave. But do you have any, can you think of any cool Spider-Man stories?
Not right on the spot. Sorry. I'm not good at on the spot stuff. You should have asked me this like this morning so I could have thought about it.
Also, Spider-Verse could be cool to see a full, like, all the different universes and stuff.
Yeah, especially, like, I always think of RPGs because that's usually the main thing I play. And so you have to, there are critical items you have to pick up along the way or you can't finish the game. So I just think of Miles Morales and his sandwich. If you don't have that cheeseburger in your pocket,
you can't win the game. So you do a Secret Wars game then where you need a special ending if you have that. You unlock Miles for the new game plus.
Yeah.
You could do that with Spider-Girl too, Mayday, because she starts out with just her powers with no real concept of fighting or anything like that, of being a superhero. And then as she's learning.
And her mentor being Peter then. Yeah. That could be cool. Yeah. Because that's the typical game. Right. Like, oh, you start with no powers and you level as you level you up, you get
easily put that into RPG settings then.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially, yeah, I guess that would be a good one for Spider-Girl in the M2 universe because she had so many mentors. And one of the issues she ran into was like the time management because her Uncle Phil wanted to train her. Her dad wanted to train her. Kane wanted to train her. And she was like, I don't have time to meet up with all these people to do all this training and actually fight people and go to school.
Yeah, I like how it addressed the problem that I have in a lot of comics that are the same universe. Like, oh, but if you do this, if you do all the things, you have no time to do. How are you even pretending like this is possible to do time-wise? Goes back to one of my favorite Wolverine stories. I forget what book it was even in, where he had his own private, like, Quinjet. And in you had his closet, it had, okay, here's my Avengers uniform, here's my X-Men uniform, here's my X-Force uniform, here's my civilian uniform, like, to justify all the different books he's in. Like, well, I just have a big closet that has all these, all right, what am I wearing right now? Okay, I'm doing this mission, cool. That sort of thing. Which would work for a game also at that point of like, okay, right. Which side quests do you want? You pick these different costumes for the different side quests.
It's always about the costume.
Right? I mean, that's... Especially when a character doesn't have new abilities, like, just have a different cosmetic skin on it.
Yeah. And that's like, you need different soundtracks to all your games, too. So you have to have that well-dressed man song playing.
That would be, I would like it if games would have different music playing based off of what outfits you're wearing, too.
That'd be pretty cool.
A fun little extra bit to that.
That's like, games where you have to travel, especially if you're in a car. I love it when you can change the radio station.
Yeah. Grand Theft Auto was one that really popularized that of like, oh, this is actually, you have different radio stations. You want to listen to country, hip hop, classic rock, new rock, whatever. Good on them. So sorry, I kind of gave you an idea-ish and then we talked about it, I guess.
Yeah, we ran with it.
Yep, that's okay. The whole point is that we're having a discussion.
Yeah. We'll come back to you with another, since you only have one for sure that you've written down.
Sorry.
That's okay.
And then I didn't even write it down. Well, it's all one. Up here.
That's close enough to written down. I can't see all my computer screens in the way, so it could be written down. I don't know. But anyway, one that's on my list, speaking of Grand Theft Auto with choosing the radio stations, this one may be pretty morbid. Stray Dogs. I think it could be an interesting, but not necessarily the way you think. Jared and I were talking about this briefly yesterday.
His is more twisted than you think.
A little bit. So keep in mind, in the spirit of Grand Theft Auto, where Stray Dogs, you would be, I guess spoiler alert, but we already talked about this in Book Club in the podcast before, but it is what it is, where you play the serial killer and is your different missions of kidnapping and killing the different women And then your trophy achievements is the different dogs you collect.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You need to get a golden retriever, yeah. Now a Labrador or whatever.
Whatever, yeah. So, and that'd be a hunting game, I guess.
You are all about the hunt.
A stalking game. It reminds me very much of like.
You use many skills.
It'd right. be like a Metal Gear Solid. You have to have stealth to do this stuff.
Well, and Grand Theft Auto, where you need different vehicles right. to keep your identity hidden, sort of thing. Like. Admittedly, this one was a very poorly thought through.
Oh, but, very. But
I think that anyone concept. Who becomes like a serial killer is kind of not thinking it.
Right.
But you can change that up so easily to being, oh, I need to save this girl and I get their dog as a trophy.
Right.
You know, that's the same exact nice. Concept. And but
yeah, but my story's funnier. I mean, like
from the book.
And
yeah, could, based on comments.
In Rockstar Games, they are no. I mean, they had a bully game. They had. Yeah. I think, did they do Postal or did someone else do Postal? I don't know.
I don't know.
But like for the early 2000s, they were super controversial with all their Grand Theft Autos and everything.
And they leaned into that controversy. That's why games like Bully came out and stuff like right. that.
So, hey, here's an idea. You can do that. Or you could go the other route where you are playing as the different dogs trying to like an escape room style game where, okay, maybe only a 2-hour game.
Right.
But you're trying to put the pieces together and figure out. Who he murdered with what? It's Clue. It's dog Clue. You could be right. playing. You're trying to figure out whose owners was killed with what weapons. I don't like saying this at all. This all sounds awful. But it could be a puzzle game that way. Right. Also,
yeah. I was just thinking about puzzle games like Portal.
You could have the first part of the game be as the serial killer, and then. The ending, you're playing as the dog stopping the killer.
Yeah.
You know?
It could be a platformer.
You're building up to show the dogs as heroes.
It could be a platformer where different dogs have different abilities. Like, right. okay, this
they
one.
Did.
Right. Like, this one can knock down the door. This one can jump really high.
Right. Or, a golden retriever can no steal your socks.
Right. and you can have it on easy mode where this dog actually knows what's going on. Right. But I was like, well, that could be. A thing. I'm not sure if it'd be a good thing, but it could be a thing. So yeah, stray dogs. It's plausible. It works.
It's plausible.
It's plausible.
I've been hanging around you guys way too long.
Pawn it up while you can.
So Jared, then what's next on yours?
So I wanted to try something like Crisis on Infinite Earths. I don't see a good way to do that magnitude of a comic, being it's multiversal. It's if you play a Superman, which version of Superman, which this, which that, you know, there's so many different parts to this story, the Flash, Supergirl, Batman's part, you know, I don't think it would transfer over well to a video game. So I stuck with something that's more one character-ish, and that was Blackest Night. I think the war of the all the lights and everything, all the different power rings could be really interesting. From start to finish, this would be a really good... I don't think it would work as an RPG because, you know, you've already got your power ring. Anything you can imagine can be in there.
Mm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that'd be kind of rough to.
I don't see it as an RPG, but I see it as a story arc game. Or maybe you can power up to a degree as RPG elements. Kind of like maybe a Mass Effect 2 or 3 where it's more action-packed with RPG elements that you could level up a little bit, you know. So I was thinking something like that, but with all of the zombie superheroes coming back to life, like Marvel Zombies and Deceased. But they have their black rings, and the story could, you know, you could go really dark with it, that everyone's becoming a Black Lantern, you know.
Well, and just all the lanterns coming together, too.
Right.
I mean,
yep.
You could almost do like a multiplayer MMORPG sort of thing.
Just where, about, yeah.
Okay, when you log in, do you want to represent the Yellow Lanterns, the Orange Lanterns, right. the Green Lanterns? Like,
that would be great MMO elements
to so that. So then you have to log in. You have to make multiple profiles to get the full right. story then, too, because you're different angles of it at all.
Right, and you can do different story arcs as maybe some DLC side quest or something with Wonder Woman's story arc and how she becomes the... Oh, which lantern did she become? The one with love, the pink one? Is that right? Yes.
Possibly. Let's see, what's the purple one?
The purple one, it's more...
I should.
I don't remember what that one was.
I know
was.
Orange is... Purple is life, I think, wasn't it?
Could be.
Because
that sounds right.
Because orange is greed, yellow is fear.
Yellow is fear, orange is greed.
Because I know there
green is will.
I know there is purple or indigo.
It's indigo, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I red feel like is that rage. Was some character that I wasn't familiar with. It was like a new character I'd never heard of.
No, I'm pretty sure it's an emotion because they all come together to, or they all make the white lantern, which is the life one. Because the black lantern is death. But I don't remember what the indigo one was. I know the indigo and green together could destroy the black lanterns.
Then what were the other ones for?
Different emotions. Greed, you know, Larfleas.
Some of compassion. His stuff.
Compassion, that's, yeah.
Or indigo.
So, but I think that could be a really good story arc. There's different things you can do with it because my mind went straight to the story arc of the game. Yours went to MMO, right. Which I think could even be better.
Especially because, like, hey, you're playing, I'm playing. Okay, you're going to play as Green Lantern. Right. I'll team up with you. I'll be this other color.
Right.
And we can try to.
How well do the Red Lanterns and the Green Lanterns, how compatible are they? Can they use their powers as combos and different things like that? How do they react together?
And no one in the entire game is allowed to be the Orange Lantern. That has to be the AI. They will not share that with anybody.
That'd mm-hmm. be great. You know, that's a good twist to it, too.
Everyone, I want it. That's the point.
Right.
You don't want it bad enough.
Yeah. So there's a lot of good things that I think you could do with Black as Night or just a Green Lantern series from that.
From alone. All the lanterns
yeah. point of view. So, but my mind, like I said, went to the story arc of the game, but now that you say that, I'm like, that would work so much better than my idea.
There you go.
And so. That's why we have it as a discussion.
Right. All right. Laura, what was the one that is not written down, but in your head that you were prepared for-ish?
Slightly. Yeah, I'm never very prepared. I was wandering around today, and I remembered the comic book, The Homesick Pilots. We talked about it as like a pick of the week a long time ago. In fact, I should have looked up when that came up, but...
I can look it up later. Yeah.
Well, I think I've got it. Well, it's set in the summer of 1994, but that's not when it came out. Here we go, 2021. But it was about these teenagers who are in a band, and they find out about this house nearby that's haunted, and they call it the Jameson Mansion, I think it is, something like that. But when they go inside this house... The house keeps changing. Like, even though they all went in, they, like, got separated, and they couldn't find each other again because the house kept moving and changing its parts. And I always thought, like, a maze like that is always interesting to me in a video game where, like, you can't go the same way twice, necessarily, unless you've done something else to unlock it so that you can get back where you were. And I always like a game where there's multiple ways to win or...
Different endings.
Different Those endings too. Yeah. So thinking about how this house was changing made me enjoy that. And in this book, they also said that the house was like a creature. And I think it was possessed too. And part of the problem was because it was a known spot for teenagers to come and they'd go in and take stuff from the house and leave. And the house was actually possessed and angry that people were taking its bits and pieces. So one of the characters in this book, the concept becomes that she is supposed to go back out in the world and bring all this stuff back to make the house whole again. And so that's an interesting fetch quest version of it, where you are the character who gets entrapped in this house and has to help the house become what it wants to be again. And it looks like it came out with three different volumes of this, and eventually the house, like, turns into some sort of mechanical robot thing, and, like, then it's... The government has made their own version of this mech house, too, and, like, it's becoming almost a Transformers robot war thing. I need to read more of it, because it looked like it got real crazy. Like, it was already pretty crazy.
Yeah, their synopsis worse. Says, expect three chord songs and big bloody action as Power Rangers meets The Shining.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty intense.
And on Image's website, when you were looking up the year it came out and everything, it says it's published December 31st, 1999. They've got a huge typo or something on their website.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that can't be right at all.
Maybe no, that's not at all. Yeah, because yeah. I definitely read it when it was new in a single issue.
Yeah. All right. Next one on my list is going to be pretty self-explanatory. Marvel's Civil War. it's Marvel versus Capcom, or the Marvel or the Capcom fighting Street Fighter games and stuff like that. Like, it's a 1v1 or a 2v2 or whatever. Just a side scroller fighting is the way I would picture it. Like, heroes versus heroes fighting each other. Yep. You can do some of the DLC characters can be like some of the villains that were in the books and everything too, but just a straight up fighting game, I think would be pretty good for that one.
It worked for DC with Injustice.
Right.
Would it be restricted? Like, you've got Team Cap and Team Iron Man, where only certain characters can fight each other?
I mean, I think that would be a good way to do it, yeah.
Except for Spider-Man can switch sides.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And Punisher can be on neither side. He's on his own side because he got kicked out.
And Thor is a robot.
But he was still on a side. I mean,
until he blew up.
At least the campaign would be that way. You have to choose one side or the other.
Arcade.
But the arcade style could be like, yeah, full on just fight. Yeah. Standard Mortal Kombat fighting style. Now, you could potentially make an RPG out of this as well. I think really all these games you could make an RPG out of. But I think the question is, like, what would work best for them? Mm-hmm. For me, this one would be just a straight up, just a full on brawler game. Good old button mash. So yeah, that was my quick and easy one that I came up with. Jared.
I went with Secret Invasion, the first one, but I was thinking from the viewpoint of the Skrulls.
Okay.
You're playing as the Skrulls, so you could have an RPG elements, you could level up,
full-on espionage.
Different forms, like, oh, I'm going to be Captain America for this one. You know what I mean? You could kind of pick and choose who you wanted to appear as and what kind of powers you would kind of display. And it would be from that viewpoint, not the heroes. So you're really playing as the bad guys.
Right.
But I'm like, yeah, if you're doing Secret Invasion from the heroes' point of view, you could pick Captain America for this mission. You know, kind of like they did with the current Avengers game, where you could kind of pick which heroes you want to send into certain missions and stuff like that. But... Or I don't know. I thought it was more appealing to do it from the Skrulls' point of view, and you could do the same thing, pick and choose who you wanted. But
it could be cool, like, if you are playing as Nick Fury, and
or that, too.
And you pick your three supporting cast members, mm-hmm. one of them is going to be a Skrull. You don't know which one,
right?
And it's up to you to decide,
right?
As a mystery game, as you go through, thing,
just a little bit too with the new show coming up with Nick Fury. And Nick Fury was a definite focal point to this story arc and everything. But I think there's so much they could do with that story.
Well, and at that point, they could do two different games. Like, right. Oh, it's the same thing, but from different points of view.
Yep.
That could be cool. I like that. I didn't think of from the villain, from the Skrull side.
They could do more of a, not a horror game, but have those horror suspense stuff. It's like, where's the bad guy? Who is the bad guy?
Right.
What's going on? You know? So they could do a lot of stuff with that one. So Secret Invasion, I thought, would be a really good one.
Yeah.
And it's got Bucky as Cap in that
one. And it's got Bucky as Cap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it... No, that was... Which book was it? Was it the Secret Invasion? No, it was some other book. Well, if you can go back in time and kill Hitler, Bucky's like, I killed Hitler.
That wasn't mm-hmm. that one, but it was...
It was after Civil War, because they were on the underground.
Right. I don't remember what it was. He was still his Winter Soldier. He wasn't Cap.
Right.
I don't think.
Because let's see. Wait, no. What brought back Bucky? He was brought back in, or right before. Oh shoot! It was right around Avengers Disassembled time area, ish. It was the Cosmic Cube that brought him back. Because I remember it was in the Falcon. Or it was in the Winter Soldier graphic novel that we have on the shelf. The compendium of it. I forget what event it was that brought him back. But yeah, either way, just the one he was like, yeah, that's my favorite Bucky line of all time. I'm like, I killed Hitler. Wait, what? I killed Hitler because he was MIA and it worked out for the time. And the fact they went down to the detail where the pistol that he would use as Bucky Cap was the same pistol that Hitler used to kill himself with.
Yeah.
So that's how they wrote it in the story. Like, oh, why is he using a German pistol? Well, because that's what he killed Hitler with. So that's a pretty good trophy right there.
Whatever you have on hand.
Right. Or on your one hand, because that's all he's got. Mm-hmm. In the cybernetic hand. Anyway, I don't think we're going to find it
that quickly. Yeah, I can't find it that quick.
That's homework for the listeners to figure out what event brought back Bucky. The last one on my list, Jared and I were talking about this, I think it would be really cool, was Wolverine Old Man Logan.
Yes.
if you're traversing through the wasteland, like, okay, you need to fight the Hulk gang. You need to fight Doom, Evil Doom. Well, Evil Doom. He's Doom. He's always evil. Yeah. But post-apocalyptic everything, especially when you are the one scene where they're like driving around the giant man skeleton and everything through the wasteland. Like, that'd be cool. Just the, okay, you can murder everybody trying to, you know, get the delivery to the other side of the country and have Hawkeye there with you driving the spider buggy. Then running from the symbiotic T-Rexes and everything.
That would make a great video game.
I think that'd be a fun open world. Yeah. Well, I guess it wouldn't be open world-ish. Yeah. You have to be on rails at some point.
Right.
But just the traversing across everything, that would be a fun narrative.
If they do kind of like a Fallout setup.
Yeah.
You know, destruction. But if you're going to do it across the United States, you have to section it off a little bit.
Yeah, you definitely have quick travel points. Like, okay, well, we can't show you driving, you know, for 12 hours, just hold forward while driving the entire time. Like, you need to have some sort of boundaries for that.
Yeah, that's where your loading screen for driving across there shows up.
Unless there are different quests that progress you across to in the direction.
As well. Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, the major plot points could be everything that you see in the book, and they could have some filler fight scenes or whatever just to keep the pace going and everything. But I think Old Man Logan would be a really cool game.
That would be an Easter egg heavy game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seeing everything in the background. Find out
what happened to everybody.
Yeah. I mean, and they've done DLC. They've done other books of the Old Man timeline you could do as DLC. Like,
right.
Old Man Hawkeye, Old Man Peter Quill. Mm-hmm. Like, that takes place in that same era and everything. You do a whole bunch of that timeline of everything.
Yeah.
That was my last one. Any other last quick picks or anything?
Yep. I was flipping through looking for my notes on Homesick Pilots, and I found A Calculated Man.
Oh,
and especially since they're going to turn that into, is it a Netflix series or some sort of TV series?
I think Hulu about. Maybe. Hulu or Amazon.
But since he was kind of like a savant, like he can plan things out really well, and he was having dealings with the mafia, so there's a good storyline too. And
especially when he's setting up the mob to kill themselves and kill each other and everything, like you could set up those traps and kill them in interesting ways, kind of like the Hitman series.
Yeah, I was thinking the Hitman series myself. I'm like, that would be kind of cool with that.
Yeah. Ta-da. Good job. Good job for writing down notes and looking through them. Jared, did you have anything else?
Nope. I think that was the big one. One little one would be, this is kind of going to be a bit of a spoiler with the Batman 135 Legacy 900 issue, how he jumps from multiverse to multiverse. That could be kind of cool. I was trying to wrap that in with
Batman Hush would be pretty cool because that has all the major villains.
Yep. But I was trying to think of like, could you do something with it like Crisis on Infinite Earths, multiversal? And I think if you stick with one character jumping multiverse to multiverse, you could do something with that.
Yeah.
So,
Think of America Chavez and the
movie.
Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness.
Okay. Yeah, that would be good.
That could be good.
You'd see different versions of yourself or the other characters, your villains, you know.
Wasn't the deal that America was her only self about?
Yeah, she's the only one in the multiverse.
Because she never dreams.
Yep.
Because apparently that's a sign if you have multidimensional versions of yourself. If you dream, that's you in another universe.
Other universal selves are really effed up.
Just
so you know. You got lucky with this one.
Yay! So with that, let's move on to books that came out recently the last 2 weeks. Jared, you have books in front of you. Why don't you go first again?
Okay, well, since I just spoiled my pick, I'm going to go with Batman 135, 900. This is the conclusion of the of Batman in the alternate reality with the red mask and everything like that.
Batman No Way Home.
Yeah, pretty much. But this is oversized. I don't know how many pages this was, but it was pretty thick. It was a good size story.
It's a chunky one, and we do and have multiple covers too
at the store. Good stuff in there. Yeah, the alternate covers are really cool. But This came out today, right?
Correct.
Okay, well, so I don't want to go into
technically spoilers. Yesterday, Tuesday, right. DC comes out
but
Tuesdays.
I don't want to give too many spoilers, but there is so much in this. He does get to Red Mask, who we did find out that he is the alternate version of the Joker. But
I would say he's the alternate slash ultimate version of the Joker, without giving away any other spoilers.
Okay. Yeah.
From a certain point of view.
But they do get through, and they're starting to go through portals to get back to the correct Earth and everything, or Batman's correct Earth. I am still getting thrown off a little bit by his hand being cut off. That happened in the previous issue,
yep.
So there is some resolve to that a little bit.
There will be repercussions in one way.
Right. So there's stuff going on, but it starts out with him jumping into the multiverse, and the first thing he gets to is the Batman 89, Michael Keaton version. And
which, to me, seems like, okay, DC is really leaning really hard on that right now with the Flash movie
coming out. But the next one is the vampire world, where he meets Joker, the vampire Joker. He jumps more. We see
it is very cameo heavy of all Batmans. Yes. Let's put it that way.
Let's go with that. Yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but there was so much fun reading a lot of this stuff. It was really good.
If you look at some of the covers, the variant covers where it has all the different Batmans on the cover, that the story fits that cover, actually.
Yes. So I thought this was a really good ending to a really good story. This is one I would suggest picking up and trade. This was solid. It was a fun one. For what they're doing with Dawn of DC, where they're kind of relaunching the multiverse and everything, I think this is one of the best stories to introduce readers into that concept.
My only problem is with this being the first one that's labeled Dawn of DC, this is a terrible jumping on point for anybody.
Agreed. But if you know your DC comics, your characters and stuff like that, then this would be a good start to what they're going into.
Maybe.
If you want to get to a new reader, this is probably not the way to go.
Well, because I was talking to Mark about it. He hadn't been reading everything before, but he's like, oh, it's a milestone. So he picked it up and he read it. He's like, what the crap is going on with this? I was like, yeah. DC, for milestone issues like this?
Not the issue, the story.
Right. I'm saying, but the issue is like,
yeah.
For milestone issues, they got to have a good jumping on point. Every time they do a milestone, it seems like it's the end of a story. It's the end of a story. Like, no. Right. Have that be the kickoff.
And, you know, not 901 is your jumping on point. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I agree 100%.
So it's like, guys, you kind of crapped the bed on this one. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
But also,
yep. You can't
have it be user friendly.
As a salesman in the comic book store, you can't promote this to new readers,
right?
At all,
it's not a jumping on point. Now, the next one, 936. Sure, probably.
Wait, but why is it 936?
Because 136, 901.
Yes, I misspoke. 900 is the legacy number, but it's actually Batman 135 is this issue. So 136 will be the jumping on point, but still, that's not very user friendly. Like 136. Why would
Peter
agrees.
Yeah, sorry folks that Peter is upset that he got shut out of the podcast room. He's not used to that door being shut yet, but he'll get used to it. Any other last things you want to mention about this before we move on to the next book?
No, I think I'll stop there with no spoilers and everything like this. So,
but the Easter eggs are wonderful in this.
Yep, I loved them.
Laura, what is one of the books that stood out to you the last couple of weeks?
I think I want to pick as like my pick of the 2 weeks, Cult of Carnage Misery. Reign of Carnage Carnage Reigns is going to be the Summer of Symbiotes, like big kickoff thing. Oh, are you looking for it?
Oh, okay. Nope. I was just making sure I didn't lose it. I was like, I thought about this. Where is it?
Sorry. I didn't think that you would need it, so I took it.
Well, that's fair.
But yeah, the Carnage is a big deal right now, apparently. I unfortunately have, since no one that I talk to every day really talks much about Carnage, I've kind of let it slide. Now I'm like, crap, I gotta go back and catch up on a lot of things because there's a lot going on. The main focus in this issue is Liz Allen, who is the head of Alchemax, who is in possession of at least 4 of the current symbiotes and possibly more. And they're trying to, this isn't too much of a spoiler. Liz is trying to find good ways to utilize the symbiotes instead of like weaponizing them as most people are trying. She's trying to figure out they have healing properties. They can
enhance strength and everything. Yeah. Now,
so
correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't the symbiotes that they're in possession of, aren't they all derivatives from the Carnage symbiote also? It's not like just Venom spawn.
Oh,
it's Carnage spawn, so it has the extra crazy gene in them.
Yeah, I guess I should have mentioned that. Although I think she also has some anti-venom still. So that's not Carnage derived, I don't think.
Correct. That is Flash Thompson derived.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that was also... It came about because Flash fell in a vat of something at Alchemax that was...
It was really weird. Yeah,
it was a lot of stuff. But yeah, so... I really like this also went back and forth a little in time. Like, Liz is kind of having flashbacks and remembering her time with Harry. And I like the art a lot, too. Although a lot of the art, it kind of made Harry look very Peter-ish in some instances. But I think that's kind of appropriate when... Sometimes when you're kids, you all look the same. Like back in the day, they did all kind of look the same. So I thought it was interesting to me to look at these and be like, no, that is Harry. No, look at his hair. It's definitely Harry.
Has the patented Osborn Brillo hair.
Yep. But I really liked how Liz was portrayed. I liked how she interacted with her family because she's... And it also, like they pointed out, Stanley keeps calling her Aunt Liz. And I was glad for that because in the past I was like, when did Liz have this other baby? I know she had Normie, but... And he is saying Aunt Liz because she's not his mom. She's his guardian. Like, so that... I'm glad that they kind of pointed that out a little more in this story. It's a very good, what's Liz Allen doing? Where's she going with her life story? So if you miss that side character from the Spider-Man universe, go get Misery and learn about Liz Allen.
And I think it's a good jumping on point, too. Mm-hmm. I think they do a good job of, without saying previously and whatever, like it just within the context of the story, like, okay, this is what's going on with our world, yada, 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 go.
Yep.
So I like when issues do that mm-hmm. well. Like, oh, that is very user-friendly, especially for an issue one, that it, as they should be. Mm-hmm. First one on my list this week is Adventures of Superman, John Kent, number 3, written by our favorite, Tom Taylor, because he does everything awesome work. But this is the... in the previous issue, we saw John actually meet... Superman Kal-El from the Injustice world where, you know, he becomes the dictator tyrant, takes over the world, yada, yada, yada. This one seems like, okay, I met you. Now, what's the deal with this planet? What's the deal with this planet? And everything like, oh, it is not all peachy keen. And why is it the way it is? Why was this Superman the only one that has been able to stop Ultraman versus all the other ones couldn't? And they do a good job explaining why it works in this, I think. Where it's like, oh, because all other Supermans, they don't kill. This one has no problem killing if the job needs to be done. And it is definitely having John look at his father through a new set of eyes. Like, oh, not just your son, but this is like, as a person, how bad can you be sort of thing. But the drama is there, especially when he meets an older Damian. And he's trying to figure out, okay, what's going on with Batman? How can Damian and Batman fight as strong as Superman and everything, trying to figure out that whole world and everything. But I really enjoyed it. I would definitely recommend reading issues 1 and 2 before this, though. It's definitely not a jumping on point, but it's also either a 5 or 6 issue miniseries. So it is what it is. But so far, I'm really enjoying it. I think once it hits trade, it'll be fantastic. Jared, what is your other pick of the week?
Well, my pick is actually Star Wars, but I think it would have been Shazam if I had read Shazam. We're getting a new Shazam series. It's 1.
On a side note, Shazam is Mark's pick of the week in the store, so
there you go. It looks fun. It starts out, the very first page, he's riding a giant T-Rex. You know, it's like, oh, that's a good, fun starting point. And remembering that this is a child in a man's body and everything like that, it's... Spider-Verse has dinosaurs on it.
Edge of Spider-Verse.
Spider-Verse.
I actually think this was an old issue that I ordered and it just came in today.
No, it's new.
Is this new today?
It's a new series that... Sorry, Jared,
I'm derailing you.
But it's a new series that starts over... It's a mini series again that has the same character on the front, but it's a brand new story, even though it has the same title and everything. It makes me angry.
Oh, see, I was not going to read this because I thought I'd already read it, nope, and I just ordered an alternate cover.
It's a new one. They just have the exact same name, same font, everything. But anyway, Shazam.
But Shazam, I'm flipping through it, and I'm like, man, I really wish I would have read this before my other ones because I think this would have been my pick.
It was a fun read.
I just ran out of time and didn't get to it, but my pick was actually Star Wars 34. There's still something wrong with the Force. Luke is actually going to try to build a new lightsaber. This is kind of leading up to his green lightsaber in Return of the Jedi. But his yellow lightsaber that he's had isn't working really well. So he's trying to find new kyber crystals and everything like that to be able to build his own lightsaber. Chaos ensues. He meets a... At first I thought a bounty hunter, but I don't think it's a bounty hunter. I'm not really sure who this character with green hair is. But she comes up and just kills everyone in a bar right in front of Luke. And Luke's just like, okay, we're going with this. You know, so typical Jedi move.
Yeah.
Somebody murders everybody and they're like, cool, I'm going to hop on this bike with you.
Technically, he's not a Jedi yet. That's in Return of the Jedi. So it hasn't happened yet. Yeah,
but he's close enough. So, but there's some chaos that ensues, some good stuff in there. I've been enjoying this series. It hasn't been like top notch. Like this isn't my pick of the week, but it's been solid. It's been fun. And I might be biased because I like Star Wars, but I've been enjoying this.
It's your fun of the week.
Right. So...
All right. Laura, what is one of your other books?
I think that I'll mention World Tree from last week, 426. Even though I kind of didn't really like it or enjoy it, but it was something Tinian. I'm blanking on this for
James
sure.
Tinian, I think.
Okay, that sounds right. So I gave it a shot, and it's definitely hard M. There's a lot of nudity and murder, but... It was almost like it's some sort of computer virus thing, I think. What I wrote down was, what if the internet's worst virus took physical form and went on a murder spree? Could anyone stop it? And I feel like the virus is kind of mind-controlling people a little bit, too. And the story is beginning to focus on, like, the brother of someone who's been mind-controlled and turned into, like, a serial killer, and it's like... Oh, yeah. What would you do if you, like, suddenly found out with the rest of the world your brother is the one who went out and killed, like, 60 people?
And is live streaming those murders online, mm-hmm. too, at the same point. Like, he's not just murdering them. Like, oh, watch me murder. Like, you can't argue that. He's literally live streaming it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. And, yeah, just the way they set out this story, like, Tinian always does a great job. And so I'm curious to see where it can go. I probably won't follow it, but... World Tree just stuck out if you're into like a almost a horror thriller, like a techno thriller. Like, go get this.
I can see it being one that we will read in book club later once the trade comes out.
Yeah, I think so too. That sounds interesting.
It's a Tinian, so those are usually pretty safe.
Well, I don't think it's safe at all.
Pretty safe to be entertained by. How about that?
Okay, there we go.
Anything else about that one? You may go next. Okay. My last pick of the week is Lamentation number 1. 48 pages of fear. It is an oversized book, kind of like the Batman book that Jared was talking about earlier. This one, it has a actor that she just got, you know, this audition or paper where he says, actor wanted, blah, 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 blah. So she's like, okay, maybe I'll get this job. You know, it is what it is. It turns sideways. Like, she's like, the director's like, oh, yeah, of course we want you, blah, blah, blah. She's like, really? There's no one else here? No one else is auditioning? Well, I just get the gig?
Yeah, it was like she walked in the door and Lydia's like, you're late. Get on stage.
I know exactly who you are. Oh, here's the script. Read it. You know, go real fast. But what I like about it is while they're acting, it jumps back and forth between them and the theater house versus them and the actual play, like the world of that play that they're doing and everything. So I like that back and forth. There's a mystery element to it because no one can leave until the play gets done all the way through in one run, it looks like. And there's definitely some shenanigans going off on it. I don't give too much because it is a suspense horror light mystery, I guess, maybe. But I do like it. It's actually only a 3-issue miniseries, too. I looked that up today. I was like, oh, that's that's a short series. But with it being 48 issues, 48 pages, I'm guessing each issue will be that thick as well. So, okay, maybe less quantity of books, but higher quantity of page count within each book. Mm-hmm. It's written by Colin Bunn, who has a pretty good track record. But yeah, this is not, I normally don't do the horror stuff, but this is the mild horror, kind of like The Me You Love in the Dark, where it's a slow burn sort of thing. Kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, it gave me, when you described it, a Buffy vibe. I was thinking of the episode that's a musical from her show, too, where everyone was cursed to sing the whole episode. Like, they couldn't get out of singing, and these people can't get out of acting.
Yeah, and there's definitely drama between, like, oh, but this person wants to be the lead, but too bad, they're already cast at this other role, and it's kind of like Hotel California. You can check out, but you can never leave, sort of thing. There is one way to leave, but it's not with your life. So, but yeah, Lamentation number one. I enjoyed it. Like I said, it was not my normal style of books, but I was like, this is interesting. I'm curious to see where it's going to go. Any other quick picks we want to talk about before we go on to the last thing? I'm just digging through my pile real quick to see if anything else stands out.
Vader 33 came out. They've been doing the Handmaiden story arcs. That was fairly good. I did enjoy that.
Scarlet Witch number 5 came out. We get a conclusion to that main story arc, which I imagine, judging by this, that'll probably be the graphic novel break will be issue 5. So I'm curious about us reading that eventually as well, too, for the podcast.
Yeah. Spider-Verse with the dinosaurs.
And Spider-Man 2099 got a reboot as well. Although I feel like I missed something, because there's a fairly important character that Miguel's dealing with, and I'm like, who's this? Where'd she come from? I even Googled her and she didn't come up. And I'm like, oh, I really got to dig deep then.
Is this a brand new character that you're just like throwing in the middle of a story, maybe?
It is possible. Like, they could do that in a number one. But I don't know, the way he's talking, it makes me think that in the last little story arc that I didn't finish, that maybe she existed then. It's hard to tell sometimes, especially with Marvel. They like to throw things in and just act like it's always been there.
Yeah, they do that a lot. But that's okay.
Ish. Kind of okay. It's okay. Except when I'm searching for, well, when was the real first appearance? And if Google can't tell me, then who can?
Yeah, that part's not great. But but if it's a good story, though, that's the main goal for that. So with that, we'll move on to the book club book of the week, which is
The Last Ronin.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin. And if you don't want spoilers on this,
get out.
Jared, what book are we reading next week?
Public Domain.
By Chip Zdarsky. It's a book that I read in singles. I think I ranted about it pretty much every issue that came out, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I think I got it till it was off the shelves because I didn't put it on my pull list. So I was up to like issue 3 or something.
So, and it's just volume 1 that's out right now. So we'll see how everybody likes it trade-wise in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and side note, unless... Sorry, I thought there was a weird noise. we forgot to mention the news earlier that Free Comic Book Day is this Saturday.
I guess, yeah, if anybody's listening to this between, this will release Thursday and Saturday morning.
Okay,
Free Comic Book Day is, there's a chance. Free Comic Book Day is this weekend. If you can make it out to the store, that'd be great.
And when I was alphabetizing dollar books as much as I could, sorry, folks, if you go look and you see they're not in good order,
yell at Laura. What I could.
Yeah. Well, and depending on how early you get there, yell at everyone else who touched what I worked on.
See, that's the thing. Is we just say it was perfect, but if it's out of order, also someone else got into it, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
We can use that as an excuse.
An excuse.
Shut up, Jared.
I have all the excuses. But there was a big chunk of Public Domain number ones in there unless they get pulled out ahead of time because of this. Like, I don't know if they're worth more than a dollar now because we're going to hype it up. But you can go get your first issue if they're there. Go to the P section if you can find it.
There you go. not the bathroom, but the other, the alphabetical P section. Yeah,
the Public Domain section.
Yeah. So, The Last Ronin, had either one of you read this before the book club here?
Yes, I had.
You read the whole thing as it was coming out in singles?
Yeah. Okay, not as it came out in singles. When they first put it into trade, okay. I read it at that point.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I had not read this before either. So this is my first reading. So Laura, what was your overall take on this book?
I really liked this. I thought it was very good. Although it was interesting for me to to see the turtles, well, I guess the turtle older and all the side characters older. And it made me realize that, number one, the comics aren't the cartoons. So I was like, oh, I didn't remember April being like this. And then I Googled some things. I was like, oh, she was a reporter from what I remember, but she's more like a scientist and more into technology and stuff in this world.
I hate to say it, but I think the reboot of the Turtles with Megan Fox was a little bit more comic accurate for April as a general character, not the characteristics she portrayed.
Right.
But as who she is, you know, I think they got a little bit more close to the comics on that.
Okay.
Yeah, because the main animated series that everyone thinks of, that is not the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from the comics. Like, right. The original
yellow
comics.
Jumpsuit.
The original comics are dark and gritty overall. Yeah. All the turtles had the same color bandana. There was no different color for the different turtles. They were all the same, but it was all black and white then, too. Right. So, which I did like how this, when they did flashbacks, they did a reference, they were a tribute to the original comics.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, you can tell it's a flashback because it's in black and white and it's like super sketched. Like, not sketchy, like just rough draft looking. Yeah. And that's how they originally drew them.
Yep.
So I do really enjoy that.
Yep. What did you think of it, Alex, for your first read?
So, admittedly, I'm not much of a Turtles fan. Like, I watched some of the cartoons. I watched, or I played some of the games, but nothing like, if you ask me, like, hey, which one wears the yellow bandana or the yellow mask? I don't know.
There is no yellow mask. You're in extra trouble.
Or blue or red or green. Like, I don't. And which one uses which weapons? I don't know. They're all turtles. Like, I don't care. I know the names.
Right. That being said, what'd you think?
That being said, I think with having that base level of knowledge of, like, okay, there are different ones that have different weapons, other specialties. You know that Shredder is the villain, Splinter is the master. They're two fighting families. That's about the extent of my knowledge. This does really well with that. It still does a good job of even reminding you, like, hey, there's these different families that they're with. They're, you know, it's multi-generational fighting and everything like that. I think they did a really good job with that. The only thing is with there only being one turtle left, how he uses all the weapons, like, oh, well, I can't necessarily tell which one he is.
That was the point.
That was the mystery.
Yeah, that was the point for the first issue.
For the first issue out of the whole five issues, though.
It's just like, who, you know, he's wearing a black mask. He's not wearing a colored mask. Who is he? Which turtle is the surviving one?
My biggest problem with this is, in my head, I had it better, where I wanted each issue to reveal which turtle it's not.
That would have been great.
Like, oh, the first issue, you know, he's using all the weapons, whatever. Then you end up, the first issue, you don't know who he is. Second issue, you reveal it's not Raphael. The next one, it's not Leonardo. Like, then the final issue, okay, it's one of these two. Which one is it? And have the reveal for that. I would love
the masked Ronin.
That would have been, that suspense
that suspense would have kept
been,
the buzz a lot higher than, oh, the first issue.
Oh, Michelangelo.
Oh, it's Michelangelo. He's the last one.
Moving on.
Like, now, the way they told the story, though, it made sense.
Really well.
Because, okay, well, he's the last one. Well, how did they all die? And that was the suspense in this book as they went on. It was revealing how each one of his family members died.
Yep.
But I think it would have been better. You'd have to change the story completely.
Right.
If you would have been, oh, I learned this lesson was the Raphael mission of how,
how he died.
Well, that's how you'd make it a video game.
Well, and what he learned from them, too. Like, okay, that's how I'm surviving this part because Raphael taught me this.
Yeah.
I learned this part because Donnie taught me this. That sort of thing.
Yep.
But that, I think that's splitting hairs. I mean, ultimately, the book itself still holds up. I still enjoy it.
Right.
But I wanted a bigger mystery out of it than what we got. Other than the mystery is like, okay, how did they all die? And how did he survive versus everyone else? The main villain... I didn't like how Shredder's grandson. Okay, so what happened to Shredder? How did he die?
Right. That's kind of one thing that I felt was missing is what happened to Shredder.
Like, obviously Shredder won, and there was a peace between the two clans for a little while. Because they explained there was the peace, you know, for however many years. Mm-hmm. Then, well, it got betrayed, which, of course, that's what they do.
Right.
Villain's going to be a villain. It is what it is. But... Yeah, there's just a couple of things. Like, I wouldn't necessarily like this, but I did love the first issue, how it was the action sequence of him busting into New York City. Why is New York City walled off against the whole world? Well, it's because the rivers have sunk and it's all sludge and pollution mm-hmm. and everything. Okay. The different layers of citizenship are actually different layers of...
Right.
Like, you got the lower level that is on the ground level.
Yep.
Middle class, the upper class.
If you look at the upper class, it's brightly lit, it's colorful more, and as you get to the lower tiers, it's a lot of darker colors, your blues, a lot of shadows, you know.
Did you guys remember they kept referencing Bleecker Street? Was that a big deal in the comics in the past?
I don't know.
I'm not positive. Okay. I grew up on the movies and the TV shows. Okay. I wasn't really into the comics when I was a kid, so I really don't know the differences between them.
It definitely feels like it's a reference to something.
Right. Yeah, and I don't remember all the cartoons and stuff like that, so if they did reference mm-hmm. that in the cartoons, I don't remember it.
Yeah, it mainly stuck out because that's where Doctor Strange lives, too. And I was like, oh, they're on Bleecker Street. I think it might just be an important New York street,
that's
too.
It very well could be. I did like the... one thing with this, I do and I don't like, is it reminds me a whole lot of the White Knight. Batman the White Knight. Mm-hmm. Where the villain has taken over, then like the hero has to regroup everybody with him. Like how White Knight Joker, you know, was the politician. He turned the whole city against Batman. Then it ended with Joker turning evil, of course. Then Batman recruiting all the GCPD and everything. And you have all the Batmobiles. This one, okay, well, Shredder won. Mikey's the last one left. And he has to recruit all the insurrection, April's family and all that stuff. Like, oh, you see all the Turtles vans and the one armor. Like, as soon as I saw all the different vans, it's like... this reminds me a lot. Like that scene right there is like, this is the Dark Knight or the White Knight.
Yeah, I think a lot of futuristic stories will use that trope of the bad guys won and our lone hero has to unite everybody against them.
But specifically when it showed all the different Turtles vans, I was like, this is right. All the Batmobiles. Is what this is. Like, this is a direct copy. Like,
I didn't catch it.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I mean, do you agree with that thought? That or
I hadn't thought of that until you brought it up, but it does have that behind it.
Which, I mean, there's enough different things behind it or around, that are different than it, but...
Oh, yeah.
I think because White Knight did it beforehand, I was like, oh...
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, who did it first?
I'm about 90% sure that White Knight came out before this. Which, I mean, it's fine. Everybody copies everything. And they did do different things. They did things differently. Like, okay, there was a siege on the tech guy versus the actual Shredder grandson. So they had two waves of that and everything. But I was like, okay, it is what it is. What are your guys' overall thoughts on it then?
I enjoyed it. I liked the progression of the characters that you already know about. Like, April is beat up. She's missing an arm. She's got a prosthetic arm and a leg. Yep. And she actually has a child with Casey Jones that she had named Casey.
Marie.
Thank you. And there was some really good stuff with that. And Michelangelo becomes her sensei because she's also a mutant of some kind.
Right. I did like that.
April and Casey both. Were both around these mutant turtles all their lives, pretty much. Constantly, so they had some residual radiation or something, and then when they had a kid, that kid had it was a part mutant. So I really liked that aspect, and there were so many good things about this. It's hard to really pinpoint certain aspects.
For me, the final fight did fall flat, though. Like, Mikey and the Shredder grandson. I don't know their name.
I forgot his name too. Akusa? Does that sound right?
Sure. They're fighting in sludge and then just a fist fight. You see electrical discharge and that's it. Like the whole time they were saying how he had accelerated healing and everything. And it seems like compared to what killed everybody, like Raphael going after Shredder's daughter in the river drowning with all his knives and swords and arrows in him. Like, that's a huge death. This one, okay, yeah, he's got like looks like cracked ribs, but you don't see the amount of weapon damage on him. So the ending to me is like,
maybe a little bit, but you know, I mean, throughout
is,
that
and he is significantly fight, he is significantly older than all the other turtles were too. Well,
you mean Michelangelo or the bad guy?
Michelangelo is a lot older than the rest of his siblings when the siblings died. So I get that it would take more to kill them when they're in their prime versus him.
Right.
But to me, it just felt like, I don't know, I punched you, electrical discharge that killed both of us. I like a Rocky freeze frame ending sort of thing. They both stab each other at the same time. Like something like that where you actually see the damage versus, oh, we see shocking, a boom, they're underwater, then like that's it. Like,
Well, he did make a mistake when they were fighting in the building and he gets stabbed in the side. I think he was nursing that wound throughout the rest of the fight. He doesn't get stabbed, he gets slashed,
right?
It could be fatal, and you know, he's favoring it the rest of the fight. I guess I could see that.
Yeah, but I don't know.
You're kind of right there. He goes out with an electrical shock, and then, oh, it's almost like a Padme death. I'm dead because I'm sad.
Some people are angry about this. A Luke death, where like, no, I fulfilled my job. I got rid of I no longer have a reason to fight. Like, I completed my family's heritage or whatever. Mm-hmm. We're good to go. I did like the very end, though, where we get a new set of Ninja Turtles that are being raised.
Yeah, I did like that. Yep. She's just like, grow up, I've got so much to teach you. I thought that was great.
That's cute, but I don't know, sometimes that bothers me more. It's like, oh, you're not going to come up with something new. You're going to do the same thing again.
It's a very schmaltzy ending to it also. Like, yeah. That's convenient.
Yep.
Although I do like how they even have the ooze that made them.
In the background,
yeah. Background, and then you see the tube of what looks like got the original ones. I have to do some research,
right?
But it's TCRI or TCR1 that has the radioactive symbol.
TCRI. Like,
so I wonder if like is that the original like the ooze that got them? I don't know.
Could be, yeah. I don't know.
I totally believe it would be because why not?
Right. So.
Yeah, I have to. Let's give our ratings. Unless there's anything else we want to mention about this.
The only thing I was going to say is I think it was really well done how they killed off the turtles in general. Like Raphael, there was a big fight. So he just left them.
He's a hothead.
So, he's going to go do it. And I think the way that they killed them off and everything was very fitting to their characters. It wasn't like, he just went out like a punk. Leo was with Casey when all the drones came in and just activated as bombs and blow them up.
So it was Donnie that was with Splinter.
Yeah. And Donnie tried to save Splinter and they both got killed. But Raphael going off to fight the foot alone, I thought was so characteristic of him. And
right. Like just full on.
Yeah.
Because which one was the leader, the actual leader?
Leonardo.
So he was with...
With Casey Jones on the rooftop. So
he was captain goes down with the ship sort of thing.
Right. Yep. So they did it very well. Donatello was protecting his father, and they did everything really well. And even though it's a darker version of Michelangelo, I could still kind of sense that it was Michelangelo. It just wasn't the comedian version.
Well, because he was the youngest one.
Right.
He never was taken serious before.
Right. And you realize, oh, he is a serious one.
And he survived an explosion.
Right. He wasn't in the blast radius itself because he was getting the robot thing out of there.
Yeah.
I can't think of what that one's name is.
Professor Honeycutt?
Was that
part of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I didn't remember him from any other anything. I think
that could be something that was in the show and in the comics, but I don't understand the reference. I just kind of rolled with it.
Right, that's why I was like, okay, it's a robot.
It's a robot from the Turtles past. I'm okay with it.
And, he survived the same blast that April survived.
Right.
They're like, oh, I thought no one else would survive this, so I just left.
Right.
Yep. I knew the only people I would know that was not around, that was still alive, was my dad, so I went to go see him. He's dead.
And they were dead by the time Michelangelo got there.
Right.
So I thought they did a really good job with everything in this book. So
yeah.
I also thought it was interesting how Michelangelo was still talking to his brothers. Like he was hallucinating in my mind. I don't know.
Well, yeah. He totally, and because they don't explain it, is that a side effect of his mutation also? Like, did they, were they actually hive-minded together somehow?
Or he's just...
Crazy. He's just senile. Yeah, I mean,
that's a way of coping with grief. Right. Like, they're not really gone.
But yeah, they definitely, they never gave an answer to that. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I was completely fine with that.
So.
That was just something I noticed that I wanted to point out, that I was glad the other characters were there, especially from the concept of creating the video game. Like, I'm glad the other turtles have a part to play.
Especially the other turtles still had their traditional roles.
Yeah.
And like, they still have their sibling rivalries, everything together. Like, yeah, they're all adult, quote, all adults, and they're all dead except for him. But he still has that forever, I mean, that mindset of, I'm always this to my older brothers sort of thing. So with that, 1 to 5, 1 being off of 5 being great. Laura, what would you rate this?
I think even though it had a severe lack of Spider-Man, I can still give it a 5. I really liked it.
Yeah. For me, again, I told you what my Turtles background was. I'd give it a 5 also. I'm glad that it's done. Now they are doing a spinoff, the Lost Years. I don't know what that is. I don't care. I don't care to read it though. Honestly, I'm good. I'm good with this by itself. Mm-hmm. So I'll give it a 5.
Yeah, I'd also give it a 5. Like I said, I was a fan of the show and the movies and stuff like that. Never really read the comics. I was still able to. Michelangelo was Michelangelo. You know what I mean? The characters were transposable.
Right.
Other than like April's profession was a reporter in the cartoons. She's still the scientist type of deal. But I think they did a really good job of capturing the characters, who they were and everything like that. And the story was excellent. I'd go with a 5 out of 5 also.
Which it makes sense that it's all accurate because it is written by Eastman and Laird, who are the original writers of the comic books. So,
a lot of people never thought they'd get together to write anything else because they don't, from what I've read online, they don't really care for each other.
Not relevant to this, but sort of. I watched the Toys That Made Us, and they talked about these guys were on, like how they had a falling out and everything. But at the end of the episode, the show reunited them together. They're like, okay, they started burying their hatchet sort of thing. So I wonder if that show led to this book then, because of them burying the hatchet. That's my best guess.
That show is worth it by tenfold just for that right there.
That's my best guess because, yeah, they had that huge falling out because one wanted to sell, the other one didn't. Mm-hmm. And like, well, too bad we sold out anyway.
Right.
But the fact that they came together and they did this, I think Peter Laird is the artist.
Eastman's the writer.
He did do some of the drawing in this as well. I think that was mostly the flashbacks where it has the old style, the black and white sketch parts.
Right.
That was him. We all give it a 5 out of 5. Especially, I do want to mention, it's $30 for the hardcover. I think it's worth that $30.
Oh, it's too. A beautiful hardcover.
Well, and there's a lot of content to it. Not just the story, but there's the letters in the back, the concept art, the variant covers, and everything like that. There's a good amount of content in this for $30. Laura, what are we reading next week?
Public Domain. Look for it in the dollar books.
There you go. For issue one.
Issue one, sorry.
We'll be back in 2 weeks for that. But before we leave, we're going to do the part that Jared always forgets about.
Laura reminded me of it earlier. Dang it,
Laura, stop doing that.
But I'm still not ready.
And that is our Heroes of the Week, comic book or otherwise. Would you like me to go first then?
No, I got one. Okay. I'm going to go with Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird because they wrote a fantastic book that I really enjoyed.
And they buried the hatchet and...
Yep. There we go.
Their rivalry is done, unlike Laura and Adrian's, which is back on now.
Yeah, Adrian's not here tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 weeks in a row.
Putting his family
Four
first.
4 weeks in a row.
Well, yes, 2 episodes in a row, but yes. Laura, who is your hero of the week?
I actually wanted to pick Liz Allen because I saved back a little part of the Misery story. At the beginning of it, she accidentally discovers another horde of like goblin weaponry in her home, and she's like, curse words, Harry. You left this stuff in our home where our children live, and she like calls her whole team into like
the cleanup crew.
Yeah, the cleanup crew. And Normie gets really upset because he's like, Dad left that stuff here for a reason. We need it to protect ourselves, blah, blah, blah. And he like tries to take a bomb away and like almost keep it and drops it. And Stanley's like, oh, it's a toy. And like, it looks like a little bomb, like a little pumpkin. Like, what can go wrong with this? And Liz, like, kind of coerces him to give it back. And they start to clean up everything. And Liz kind of has this heart-to-heart with Normie. And she goes, just because I'm taking the things away and they're dangerous, we all need to agree on this. And, like, she has a really good mom moment. And she says, I'm not trying to erase your dad. That can never happen. He's always with us. But this stuff is dangerous and it's got to go. And I really loved how she got down on his level and, like, she was a very good mom in that moment. And so she's my hero of the week.
It wasn't just because I said so.
Yeah. She gave good reasons. She talked to him on his level. Like, she reasoned with Normie.
There you go.
And maybe in this universe, he won't be a homicidal killer as much.
Yeah, no promises. And my hero of the week is going to be George Lucas, because the day that this episode drops, I have to say, if everyone's listening to this day it drops, May the 4th be with you. Because it's right. This is going to upload on May 4th. Star Wars Day, and then we got May 5th, Revenge of the 5th, and Cinco
de Mayo. Then Free Comic Book Day.
And then Free Comic Book Day. Yeah, it's a busy week, folks. But yeah, what about George Lucas because of Star Wars? Yeah. So with that, we'll be back in 2 weeks. We're going to talk about
Public Domain.
Chip Zdarsky's Public Domain.
And Chip Zdarsky wrote the Batman stuff, didn't he?
He did, yes. Yeah.
He's a busy guy.
He's been busy lately. So yeah, with that, thank you everybody for listening. And barring any complications, we'll be back in 2 weeks. And we'll see you all next time.